Okay, wait, but wait, tell me this news. Tell me this news. I'm dying.
I have big news.
What's your big news?
Today, in 1 hour exactly, 59 minutes, I am walking down the street and I am adopting a cat named Comet.
Oh my God.
Isn't that cool?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Where is it down the street?
On West Broadway.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Yeah. Need name suggestions? Hate the name Comet.
Can I see a pic?
Yeah. Here's the story.
Yesterday, how is the voice going to deal with this? Not your problem.
You know what? Not my fucking problem.
Yeah, not your problem.
No, I'm sorry, but like, okay, I'm so mean because he's like the perfect man. He's the only man in the world, actually. He's the only good man in the world. But he is very allergic to cats, as we mentioned. I've always wanted a cat for, you know how you always hope that there's like the cat distribution system? That's what I was hoping would happen to
yeah.
me. I hope that one day some beautiful cat would wander up to me in the street and I could take it in and it would be like, okay, this isn't totally convenient, but like that's how it usually happens with
people.
Totally. Like you just make it fit into your life. That didn't happen for me with a cat. It happened with a fucking man. Like this guy just wandered up to me.
The man.
I was like, this isn't
system.
What I was looking for right now, but I'll make it work. And he does work and he fits quite nicely. But you know what? You're gonna have to sneeze a little, buddy. Like,
can I make one suggestion? Just because I have so much empathy for him as a cat out. A
person. Yes.
Just buy an air filter for your room.
I already bought the air purifier in the same order as the water bowl for the cat.
Okay, amazing.
I ordered it. So here's what happened. I don't want to jinx anything, so please pray, but I think everything will be fine. Yesterday.
Wait, but I still want to see a picture of Comet.
Yes, I'll show you. I as we all know, I've been wanting a cat forever. And I really have been coming up with all these different excuses to not have a cat. And I, you know, was thinking like, I haven't found this last piece of furniture for my apartment. And in March, I'm going to visit my grandparents for 2 days.
Right.
So I can't get a cat. Like, it's just like, I need to stop doing this. I long for one. I yearn
totally.
For one so deeply. I see them in other people's places and I start to cry how bad I want one. And I walk by this place, Best Friends Animal Center. And I went in there just to see. And I took it as a sign. They had like 2 cats left in there. They're like, yeah, we adopted out 70 cats this week. We have no more left.
Oh my God.
Because for our 2024 promotion, the month of January, all cat adoptions are $24.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh, that's fucking incredible. But they had no more cats. So I'm like, fine, it's a sign. I'm not supposed to get a cat or not from here. It's just not going to happen. As I'm walking out of there, this guy comes up from behind her out from the back and says, yo, the truck's out back. Next shipment. Like new batch of 100 cats. Okay. And I'm like, fuck. And she goes, do you want, they're all going to be like spayed and neutered and ready by tomorrow. You can come in anytime.
Damn, they're going to spay and neuter 100 cats in a day.
I don't fucking know, man.
That's crazy.
She dealt with it. And she was like, yeah, I got this down. And she was like, all you need is your ID. All the other places in New York for adoption. I'm doing like an ad for this place, but I really think you guys should go while time is still allowing it. I mean, they're $24 and all the other places in New York, the adoption process is such a fucking bitch. And it's like, why? Don't you want to get rid of these cats? Like, don't you want to home them? What are the odds that someone's going to like be a bad mother to the cat if I go through all this trouble to have you visit my apartment twice and put a screen on all of my windows and, you know, get a letter of reference from a friend and get a letter from my landlord? Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, it's a fucking cat. Let
I mean,
me get
it's
the
responsible.
Cat.
I mean, it's responsible on their end, but I also know that it's a pain in the ass.
I think if I'm going through the trouble of like saying you can do a home visit, I will get you a reference. Like I'm willing to pay $100-something.
Yeah.
I came and I sat with the cats for a long time and I chose one that I love. What are the odds I'm going to like not, I'm going to damage
right.
the cat? What are the odds I'm buying a cat for the purpose of like putting them in a fucking vacuum bag like that fucking freak from that documentary?
I can't even talk about that.
Like I'm not going to do anything like that. So I go to this place and they're like, they're all $24. All you need is your government ID and you can take it home today. We're just trying to get rid of them. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I think there's like a reason for both because it's like to be responsible and make sure they're going to a good home is one thing, but also like if you got a truck full of 100 cats, like you need to get
they need to
homes,
get the cats out
homes,
and
yeah.
they're like, look, if you
totally.
Like you seem normal, you can have a cat. And I was like, perfect. So I still was thinking about it. And then yesterday I was sitting in bed and it was 5 o'clock and the place closes at 6. And I know I only have a couple more days of this deal. And come on, I love a deal. And I was like, I just felt called. I was like, I have to go. I just threw on clothes really quick and ran over there. And I was sitting with the cats for a while. The adoption process takes like an hour. So maybe 10 minutes or 40 minutes before they're closing, they're like, hey, are you going to adopt anyone today? Because we need to start the process now. And I said, no, nobody's calling out to me. Sorry, I'm going to leave. And then this cat, I'm gonna cry. I met this cat. I fell so in love with this cat.
Had you not noticed him yet?
I hadn't noticed him yet. And he was sleeping and I just started petting him. And he came and he like put his hands on my shoulders and went into my arms.
How big is he?
Kind of big, like a big tabby cat.
Oh, he's not like a kitten.
No,
it's like
not
a cat.
A kitten. 3-year-old cat. And just beautiful. And I hate the name Comet. Please help me. I really don't like that name for a cat. But beautiful. And here's the thing. I told them, wait, no. I want this. After 5 minutes, I was like, this is the one. I'm taking this cat. They were like, the problem is we needed to start the application a while ago and we're all going to leave soon. You can come back tomorrow. We open at noon. And I'm like, I have recording. I'm not going to be here until
2.
And they were like, fingers crossed. I said, can you put him on hold? They said, no. So
I'm nauseous.
Pray that nobody came in the last hour and a half and picked up my cat. Because that's mine.
Oh my God. I'm like literally sick.
I'm really nervous. So, okay. But I'm trying to be calm. First of all, I think that if the cat is meant for me, it will still be there.
Yeah.
It'll be a sign. If somebody actually went into that place and decided in the last hour and a half that they've been open, that they were going to start the adoption process with that specific cat, which by the way, not the prettiest cat in the bunch, and was like, yeah, this is the cat I want. What are the odds?
Okay, wait, can I see pics now? Yeah.
If that were to happen, I feel like it's the universe telling me
not your cat. Yeah, totally. That's a healthy way to look at it.
You want to hear my cat voice?
It's you.
Oh, I love cats this color. Oh my God. Such a cutie. Not a comet. Not comet. Wait, I can't wait.
Wait, listen to this.
I'm sorry, you'll get someone to do. I'm gonna come at noon tomorrow.
I'm obsessed.
Yay!
I felt bad for that other black cat. I was playing with him for a while, but I didn't feel it. And he was like really psyched about me. And I was like, I can't.
It happens.
Yeah, so I'm getting the cat. But so you were fucking freaking me. I wanted to tell you on mic, so it was like a fun little surprise. You were freaking me out because you've been talking all day about how you're babysitting a dog and it's stressful. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Am I making the wrong choice?
No, but it's stressful because it's someone else's dog.
Yeah.
I live with a dog who I like, am not technically the owner of, but I am a big part of taking care of it. And like, I love her so much, but it's not stressful. Being responsible for someone else's dog that they have trusted me with, and I'm like staying at their apartment and like making sure. And it's also like not, that dog is not on a schedule I'm used to. And like, it's just like, I'm finding it very stressful because if God forbid anything were to happen, like, knock on all the wood, but like also there's no wood. Because like, but like, it, like there's nothing in the apartment that could like go wrong. You know what I mean? But it's there's just like that constant fear of like, did I lock the door? Did I leave food? Did I leave water?
Yes.
Like, where it's like, I'm in, taking care of Kate is part of my routine.
Yeah. Kate is the name of his roommate's dog, by the way.
Kate is the name
could
of my roommate's dog. And I'm watching
I'm obsessed with that name for an animal.
I know. I mean, she's the best dog in the world. Because you've never been to my apartment.
I've seen pictures though.
Yeah.
Of Kate.
No, but, and then it also became stressful because I just feel crazy right now because I started watching this dog last weekend and then I agreed to watch her for the full week, but then I found out I had to go to Chicago for work. So then I had to go to Chicago in the middle of it. So it was like, I've been in Williamsburg watching a dog, Chicago, now back to Williamsburg. And then finally on Sunday, I'm like back to my normal life. But
perfect.
Yeah, it's all good stuff. I'm
How
loving
Chicago.
Taking care of it. Chicago is wonderful. I love Chicago. This is my second time going.
Chicago. Chicago.
I really love Chicago.
It's a city that's exciting. It's a city that's inviting. It's a city that is someone just like me.
Is this from the musical?
No, it's from the show Victorious.
I'm too old.
You've
for
never seen.
I'm too old for Victorious.
This is like huge. Like I thought that you would like for sure caption a photo with this. Chicago.
No. That was Victoria Justice and Ariana Grande.
Yes.
Yeah. I know like who it is, but I've never seen an episode.
Oh my God. The song goes Chicago. Chicago.
No, but I do really like it there.
Oh, damn.
The boys are hot. The streets are wide. It's cheaper. There's hot dogs. I got to perform at the Laugh Factory, which was really cool.
Whoa.
It was really fun. It was really, really fun.
Okay. Amazing. Was it freezing?
No, it wasn't as cold as New York last week broke me.
Really?
I'm actually experiencing, in June will be 10 years in New York. This year is the worst seasonal depression I've ever experienced in my life. It's hitting me so hard.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Like, I might buy a sad lamp. Like, I might try to do the thing. I'm also going to Jamaica in, like, 7 days. So, it's like,
when you first talked about Jamaica on mic, by the way, on the last podcast, I thought that you were talking about Jamaica, Queens.
That's really crazy.
So, have fun in Jamaica.
No, I'm going to Jamaica, the country.
Okay.
When this episode comes out, I think is the day I will be in Jamaica.
Great.
I think. Don't quote me on that. But, and that will help. I think it's just sun and, like, it's mostly sunlight that I need. I look in the mirror and I'm like, I'm so pale.
I look at old clips of us and I'm like, wow, we look really different.
I know. I'm so excited for the warmth. But I also say right now we're paying our dues. Like, we're paying our dues because the depression and the sadness we feel in the winter in New York, it's so brutal. It's so tough. People are always like, why do I live here? And when that warm weather hits, we're paying our dues right now. It only hits so good because of the pain we've gone through. And it is going to be, I can't wait. I just can't wait.
It's like life wouldn't be good if there wasn't bad days, because then you wouldn't feel the good
days.
Yeah,
you have to have some salt to bring out the sweetness.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's so true. This one's been tough. Last week, like now it's fine. Like last night was warm. Like I was wearing too hot of a jacket last night.
I was wearing a short sleeve.
Like, but when I first started watching Dolly last Sunday, when it was like 25 and like whipping wind and like hurt to be outside, I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah,
like,
that was pretty bad.
I really don't thrive. I feel like I have this curse, and it's been my entire life, where like, on days, like the days where it is like the most inclement, nasty weather and everyone's like, oh, like cozy snow day, I like look at my calendar and it's like 42 things. Like, I am always like booked to the gills on like the day where everyone else is like, soup. Like, I'm like I have like 6 meetings and 4 errands to run, and other people are like, I'm making a sourdough and cuddling my boyfriend. And I'm like, I'm on the subway alone, like with like just being like freezing.
Yeah. I don't mind the cold that much. Like the feeling of the cold.
I'm not built for it.
Going outside. That's so funny because you're from a cold place.
I know.
I don't find it to be that bad, except for at night when it's like really the wind gets me.
Well, yeah. That's
weather, wind and rain just are the biggest. Like, I will never be in a worse mood than when there's rain. Like, it's just
cold,
the biggest
rain. Well, in the summer, I kind of love a rain at moments, but like, cold rain is the most miserable. Cold rain is worse than snow, 100%.
Ugh, it's just awful. Like, it's actually the worst fucking thing ever. It ruins your whole life. Like, I can't do anything. And you get wet. Like, it just sucks, okay? So I don't like outside when it's, like, raining or windy at night, because it makes me just feel very uncomfortable. I get, like, oddly homesick and weird and, like, nostalgic.
Oh,
and I just don't like the feeling of winter at night when it's really cold. However, the cold itself isn't my problem. It's just the sunlight. Like, I am I tend to sleep late. I have a really hard time like getting to sleep at a normal time. And my job isn't conducive to a good schedule. Like, I don't have the self-discipline to like make myself wake up, because I don't have to usually.
Yeah.
So I can sleep until 1. Like, I can go to sleep, you know, writing or whatever, work until 5 and go to sleep, like wake up at 1 p.m., which is okay for work, but it's not good for my health. It's actually really bad for me.
Yeah.
And then I get 2 hours of vitamin D, and then the sun is gone.
I know.
I become very, very depressed.
It's also like, it's so much of my like creative process is like walking around and like going on walks and stuff. And it's like, I'm not creative when my body is on like all firing on all cylinders to stay alive.
Yeah,
I'm
just exactly.
I hate it. I'm so excited for me.
But you like the summer. You like the heat.
I love it. Ugh. Oof.
Disgusting.
When like you can just like feel the heat coming off the asphalt.
Ew. You're meant to live in New York then. You're the only person alive who's ever enjoyed that season here.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
This year, I'm gonna, of course, now I can't fucking go anywhere because I have a cat. That's my one stressful thing. If anyone's a listener of this podcast, I have an adorable little apartment. I live by myself. Actually, no, I don't. If any interns are listening, I have a big boyfriend and he's there all the time. Grr, he'll get you. But I don't live alone.
but also, if Comet's not there, that means you should travel this summer.
Yes, that's a sign. That's a sign.
But where were you going to say you were going to go?
I was planning on, you know how I got sent home from study abroad because of COVID?
I don't think I knew this.
I was studying abroad in Madrid. Oh. And sounds like vomit in my mouth. Trump got on camera and was like, everyone with a U.S. passport needs to come home immediately. we're shutting the border. And everyone was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was in a nightclub when that happened. When that video of him in the Oval Office came out, I was sitting in a nightclub at 3 a.m. it was called Joy. It was in Madrid, Spain. And every fucking American student was, the lights literally went up and every single person from Long Island to Wisconsin was calling their parents, like, get me on a flight right now. I have to come home. I was sobbing.
How long did you have to get home?
Oh, we had one day.
Was like, you have 24 hours?
Yes. Well, he's such a fucking idiot.
Was the flight also, like $2,000?
It was, no, actually. It was really actually very sweet. My uncle, my dad's brother, had been watching the broadcast, and I think my parents weren't looking or they were asleep. I don't know.
Did he
the
just time book you a change. Flight?
He literally immediately just went online, got me like a $500 flight. It was like, it's here if you
that's
want it.
That's such a lifesaver.
So wow, fucking
that's
nice.
A good uncle. That's
such a good uncle.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Shout out to you, Uncle.
Because I bet you 2 hours later, those flights were like $1,500.
It was
like,
the last flight from Madrid to Los Angeles direct for months. The last one.
That's crazy.
Because you know, all, after that.
Oh, were you sitting at the airport like, what if this gets canceled? I can't imagine the stress of that.
It was really an awful experience. I don't know why. It was like a collective trauma for everybody who was like a student abroad at that time as well, specifically in Europe, because Trump was the worst president we could have ever had for many, many reasons. But for this situation, he caused such a panic that was so, and there was nothing that we could do but listen to him because we really didn't know what to believe.
Yeah.
But can you imagine? All we knew was that, I remember how different it was and how quickly things changed in those like 3 weeks in March, because March 13th, I think, is when I flew home. Yeah. And on that flight, not a single person was wearing a mask. We were all walking around talking to each other. We thought all we knew about this disease was that it was killing old people rapidly. And that's all we fucking knew. And I don't know if, you know, news was slower to get to Spain. I remember my dad picked me up. My dad is like the biggest masker, still wears one. My dad picked me up at the airport, no mask. Like, we had no information about this thing.
I mean, no,
all we knew was that there was this disease floating around and we all had to come home. And Trump he tells us at midnight, doesn't say on what coast or in what time zone. He goes, at midnight, I'm shutting the border. We're like, what are you talking about?
So crazy.
He says, anyone with a US passport needs to come home. He actually said every American needs to come home. What he didn't say was that everyone with a US passport. There were people in line who did not have a US passport, but were in Madrid going to California, who were kicked out of the line after midnight California time. So weren't allowed to get on the plane, kicked out of TSA. It was extremely traumatic. You can look me up. I'm on the news from the airport that day.
Are you crying?
No, I was so cute. I was in my little hoop earrings with a scarf and I was like, I just can't believe this is ending for me this way.
So how long did you actually get to study abroad for? Like 6 weeks?
I was there for 6 weeks about, yeah.
That sucks.
But you know what's so ironic? I really wanted to come home for the first part of it, which is so not me.
Because you didn't like it?
I was not having a good time. My mom made me go a month early to learn Spanish immersion, which was like so my mom. Mm-hmm. But she forced me to do this program that started, you know, a lot of people go through their school. I did a private program, so nobody else that I knew was going to be in it. So that was one thing. And I was like, fine, whatever. She did all the research. She was like, I'm putting you in this one. Then she made me choose Madrid because she wanted me to learn Spanish. And then she put me in it a month early and there were three other people in the program. So can you imagine? Also at that time in like January, the sun doesn't rise until around 9 a.m. in Spain. So I would have to get up at 8 when it was dark, go to a class that was in like a windowless room, learn Spanish. And they put me in like Spanish 1 or something. So I'm like sitting there learning, hola. And I'm sitting there for like 7 hours a day. It was an intensive course for a month to get me all Spanish beginner level. And I was sitting there.
Were you
there.
Going to study abroad in Madrid having never studied Spanish before?
No, I had studied Spanish before and I spoke Spanish fluently as a child. So my mom was hoping
that,
it would come back, which it did. I got very fluent, but then it all left when I came back to LA, which sucks. You need to be immersed in order to really learn a language. That's what I learned. But I was there in the immersion course to refresh myself for like 7 hours a day in this windowless room. And I'd come out and then the sun had set. So it was like, I never saw the sun for a month. I also had like a little situationship back home at college.
Yeah, I mean, this all tracks.
I was so in love with him and I felt him like pulling away and finding another girlfriend while I was abroad. Like, I was just so upset. Left all my friends. I met the three of my best friends.
Was it your
second
semester junior?
Second semester junior.
Okay.
It was so fucking depressing, man. So I was like, when I heard about this disease that was spiking in Italy, remember the first place it hit in Europe was Italy.
Yeah.
That happened a week after I visited Florence. It was like Florence is shutting down. Then I visited Budapest, and Budapest shut down. And I was like, I'm patient zero over here. I don't know what's going on. But I had an orgy in Budapest, and then everyone who else was, like, on my trip to Hungary was like, I feel so fucking sick. And we're like, oh, we had an orgy with this British rugby team. We sent them, dispersed them all over the UK, and then we came back here. We literally spread COVID around Europe, I think. But we didn't know at the time. Like, we knew nothing.
Yeah,
all
no
we knew
did.
Was that a lot of old people are dying in Italy from this, like, terrible flu. We were like, okay, well, we can't get it because we're young. That's literally what we all believed, because that's the amount of news that was out in February or January at that
time. Yeah, there was, like, no information.
Nothing. So then, you know, when we had to be sent home, I went home and they quarantined me in my room for 3.5 weeks. I was sitting there by myself. I couldn't smell anything.
Oh, yeah,
I remember sniffing the candles, and I had COVID, and I couldn't smell the candles. And my mom on the third week was like, they just announced that that's a symptom. Like, that's how early we were.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to die. I was like calling people, I have it. And everyone was like, what? You have it? Like, everyone.
I know.
Nobody knew what it was.
I know. I had it then, too. One of the many times I had it.
Saying, like, I had COVID in, like, January of 2020 is like saying, like, I was in an airport on 9/11. Did you know that? Like, oh, my God. I was there before everybody else.
Yeah, it's trendsetter. Okay, wait, should we do the first call?
Yeah. Welcome to Basic Training.
Oh, my God. Welcome to Basic Training, a podcast for people that need help.
We're in a podcast with people who were in an airport on 9/11.
No!
It's awful.
Hi, Talia and Jake. I love the podcast. It makes me look forward to every Monday. I'm calling from Montreal. And I have a question more for Jake, because I used to listen to Going Out with Jake Cornell.
Oh,
so
God.
I know that you have a lot of experience, like, working in restaurants and everything. So I love being a server. I've worked at, like, a few restaurants, like breakfast or dinner. And I just wanted, like, your advice for if I'm looking for a new job, like, what I should be looking for. Because I don't want to, like, apply to a bunch of places and then, or, like, apply to places and then not like it. Like, how am I supposed to know if a restaurant is good to work at before I start, like, if the money's good and if, like, it's a good environment, if the people are fun? Like, how am I supposed to know that before I start? And I just was wondering, like, what you recommend is the best. I know I guess you would work in a bar more because you were a bartender.
No, I worked
but
in a
bar. I guess you're also a server, but just, like, what do you think is, like, the most fun and everything? Yeah, because I think there's, like, pros to every, like, thing if you work, like, in the mornings or at night. It's like, I just wanted to ask, like, what you think. Oh, and so just so you guys know, I'm, like, a university, like, student. So this is, like, part-time, like, job. But I love it. And it really, like, fills my class. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I hope this question gets answered. Thank you.
Well, I think. Go ahead.
Okay. I have so many thoughts. I mean, like, I worked in restaurants for 10 years. My friend runs a restaurant, and she's out of town for, like, one of the bartenders is getting married this weekend in Mexico. So the entire staff is going. So I'm working at a restaurant tonight that I've never worked at before and will never work at again for this next weekend. So I'm back in restaurants for the weekend. I love restaurants. Okay. Go to restaurants. If you've worked in restaurants before, you can tell when people like working there. You can tell the vibe. If the servers are having fun, people, like, if it's busy and servers are having fun, they're probably making money. Because if you're working hard, if you're busy in a restaurant and you're not making money, it puts you in a bad fucking mood. If you are at restaurants where people are having fun and you can tell that it's a good vibe, that you can tell it's probably a good place to work. If you are working at a place where people seem stressed, seem overworked, you know what I mean? It is probably not the place to be.
Yeah.
Go check out a few restaurants on, like, a Friday night, a Saturday night. If it's empty, that tells you the place is probably not going to be great. It's not busy at the busy times. If you're wanting to work daytime, go for those shifts. Go check out a couple brunch spots. It's not, and you don't have to do full, I mean, do full dinner if you can, because that's where you're going to get the most, like, experience. But also go grab a drink there and just see, you know what I mean? Ask around. I think that, like, that's your number one level of research. I think in general, I think that the restaurants where you'll make the best money are usually smaller, nicer restaurants that are not super fine dining. Super fine dining a lot of times needs a lot of manpower in the tip pool, like a busser, a glass polisher, a bread cutter, like a food runner, a back server, a server. That's six people per section now in the tip pool pulling all those tips apart, right? At nicer restaurants where it's not that level of service, it might just be you and a back server. It might just be you and a bartender. That's where the real money starts to hit, is where it's a nice elevated level of service, but it's not psycho open hand ballet service. And you, there's the price point is nice and high, not crazy high, but nice and high. So the tips are going to be nice and high. And it just requires you to be very skilled at your job, which is server or bartender, right? And also, I think in general, a small restaurant group or a single-owned restaurant is often better. In corporate spaces, there tends to be a lot of like rules you have to follow because like the boss says so that aren't actually practical. And it's much harder for restaurants in corporate groups to make changes to policies and service that are practical and make sense. Like it's the sort of thing where it's like, hey, like this protocol of how we do this thing doesn't make sense because of X, Y, and Z. Okay, well now we have to bring it up to this corporate entity to present it to this, and those rules getting changed is like impossible. Whereas if you work at a small owned restaurant, you go to the GM, you say like, hey, we keep this thing here. It gets in the way a lot during service. I think it should stay over there. And then I think it would be easier to get during service. And they're like, oh yeah, let's change that. Like I think that's kind of your sweet spot. Those are my general thoughts. But I think the number one thing is, and like, don't be afraid. This is the number one thing, is I think when you start getting a restaurant job is kind of like dating. A lot of restaurants will have you do a trail when you first start, where they'll have you like do a shift where you just like trail a server or like follow them around to like see if they like you. Mm-hmm. It's also for you. Point blank, ask the people you're trailing, do you like working here? Is it good? I feel like it used to be kind of shameful to be like, how's the money here? Because people are like, oh, they just want the money. It's a job, sorry. How is the money? Do you like working here? How's the money? Ask it flat out. Mm-hmm. Because it should be transparent. Oh, I really like working here and the money's really solid. Great. You know what I mean? You're entitled to ask how much you're going to be making in a week. Like those are totally valid things. But I think if you're at a restaurant where you're spending good money and you can see that people are having fun, that's the kind of restaurant you want to work at.
All right. Next question. I learned a lot. Did you guys? That's actually really helpful for me right now.
Yeah.
I need a little supplement. Something on the side.
Okay, wait. Next call. I'm so excited for the third call based on the title. Ooh, these are like some fun topics. Wait, the font is too small for my big ass thumbs. Okay, here we go.
Hi, you guys. I'm such a huge fan of the podcast.
Thank you.
And hey. I never thought that I would have anything to call in about, but this is like a very, very fucked up situation, and I'm in a bad yes. situation.
Perfect.
So basically,
sorry.
I am a content creator online. I make like a very innocent fashion video. And I also happen to work at like this children's live stream studio where like I perform shows about like STEM related topics, and it's very sweet.
That's
and
cute.
One of my coworkers from the STEM job like just asked me out to dinner, and she was telling me that some of the men at work have been saying some really terrible, terrible things about like the only reason that I'm popular online is because I show off my body on the internet, and like just terrible things. And she was like, I don't think that you should work there because they don't appreciate you. And they just called me in and they were like, hey, will you come in and film some stuff for us? And I don't know how to not go in. And also I don't want to get my coworker in trouble who like told me all these things. And I want to like maintain some kind of a professional relationship with them because like they might know people that I want to work with, but I don't ever want to work with them again. And like, I obviously want to call them out for their like misogynistic bullshit, but I just don't know how to handle this. Your advice would be very much appreciated. Thank you.
I just answered the full first question, so you go first. But I have a concrete answer.
I'm glad you know that they're misogynistic and that's why this is happening.
Yeah,
you've absolutely. Done absolutely nothing wrong except be extremely successful and good at what you do, and they're pissed. That's it. Like, they're pissed. 100%. They have no reason. Please, women, I want you to be very, like, listen to me so carefully. You ever feel like the men at your job don't like you? There are very few instances where you've actually done anything wrong, and it's a lot more likely that you're doing everything right and they hate you for it. You are doing a great job. And if that's also goes to, I don't like, there's a saying, if all the men in the room agree with you, you said something wrong. You know what I mean? It's nice to be agreeable. It's nice to be liked. I'm not saying that it always means you've done nothing wrong. But if every fucking guy is talking shit about you in a place and you know you're doing your job, it means you're doing your job really fucking well. And they're very intimidated. So I'm glad you know that. When it comes to how do you let them know that you know, or how do you want to address it? We might disagree. I say you don't do anything. I say you keep doing exactly what you're doing. I know it sucks to work with people.
What she's been doing is working with them, and she doesn't want to do that anymore.
I think she should keep working with them.
Okay.
If you're looking to quit because of another reason, like you're saying that you already were looking for a different job, then yeah, look for a different job. Go about your whatever, your path. But either way, I do not think anyone needs to know that you know this information, or I don't think that it should be a reason that you leave. I get it if you really feel that you need to, but I just know you're so fucking professional and good at your job. Clearly you're beautiful and awesome and everybody likes you. Therefore, these guys hate you. If you go work somewhere else where there's men, this might happen again. It probably will. Like they're jealous and they suck. So what are you going to do? You're going to leave because of them? Or are you going to stay at this job that you're extremely good at and just keep doing what makes them pissed off, which is their job better than they can do it? Totally. Like, I just think that you shouldn't leave because of this. I think that that's like giving them exactly what they want. I understand that it sucks, but like make friends outside of work. Fuck them. Like they want you to quit. They're pissed that you're doing your job so fucking well and making them look bad. Okay. Am I getting too passionate about this?
No, I think I heard the call a little bit differently. And so I have like different advice, which is like, cause like I can't tell if most of your income, if your full-time job is this place with these guys and it's going to put you out to leave, I think Talia is on to like the right path of advice. If working with these guys is one of the side projects you do on top of also being a content creator, and you're like, you know what? I don't need that money that bad, and I don't want to go back there. I don't think you should go back there. Like, if it's
but I don't think you should. I heard that.
Okay,
but I don't think that you should let anybody know that you know what they said.
So my point was, she said, "How do I like tell them without burning anybody? Let them know, hey, sorry, my TikTok stuff has actually gotten too much of my time. I'm a little too busy with that. You're too successful to work with them anymore.
Yeah,
sorry, I actually just like my content creating stuff is like taking up a lot of my time. I've picked up a lot of clients, like." Or a lot of deals, like I kind of have to chill on this for now. So sorry, they can't, if anyone says, hey, why'd you leave? It's, oh, she got too busy with her actual stuff.
Yeah, she got more successful.
And in terms of how do you get, there was a little bit of like, I want them to know that, or I want to like address the fact that you tell that shit to anyone who fucking asks, hey, well, how is it working there? Oh, they're misogynist. They said XYZ about me and my body and my online.
Yeah, but you don't need to tell them.
They don't need to know because it's not going to change their mind.
It's never going to change their mind. It's only going to make things worse.
I'm sorry. Anytime the opportunity arises, you let everybody know.
Yes.
That's my advice.
But we all know the best revenge is a life well lived, blah, 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 blah. You must go off. If you're going to leave them, you better be fucking successful at this TikTok thing and be extremely happy and be doing like living your best life.
Yes. Don't leave there if it's going to put you out in a way that makes you financially vulnerable, financially unstable.
Yeah, you're not
going to
let these guys make your life worse by like leaving the job because of them and then having less money. No, you're only going to leave if you don't need them anymore. I say, though, it sounds like you're going to keep the job. Like, I think you should stay. I really do. And I think you should continue kicking ass. And the best revenge and the way that like they will feel like shit is if you just look them straight in the eye and be like, so, any notes? Like, I did that perfectly. Like, I keep doing your job. It'll piss them off.
Also, like, if you have followers online because people like your body, congrats. People like your body.
I don't think that's why you have followers online. That's such a guy thing to say.
No.
People say that to me all the time. People DM me. They're like, you only have followers because your boobs. Hello, I purposefully. Why do you think I film from the neck up? Because I don't want any of you fucking pervs in my...
Yeah.
I make a specific effort. But I don't give a fuck. That's what people make up excuses because they're so unwilling to admit that a woman has talent or she's funny or whatever. And she could make her own career. And it's a women-led career. It's like very much a female career. This is a women-dominated career. And it's very lucrative and it doesn't take that much work compared to a lot of other jobs. Like it's not very hours
like,
heavy.
I know, I was watching, someone was talking about, I thought this was like so interesting. I think, I don't remember if it was Drew that was saying it. Someone was talking about how funny it is that like, you know, like the whole thing where Matt Rife was like, I wanna, like he was trying to like change the fact that all of his followers are women. It's like women convert. Like that's where the money is having a female following.
That women like, run the economy. Ever heard of the lipstick
rule?
It's like
so crazy. Like it's so funny that like that is like a that is like an economic mathematical statistical
it's real.
Fact. And people are like, I want men's approval. It's like men don't spend money on you, baby.
Well, other women get pissed about it too. I'm men sorry. Buy guns. This is a very, very lucrative career path. But and everyone always writes it off as saying either, oh, you if you're hot enough, like clearly, you know, these guys are saying about you, you can do it. Anyone can do it. If you just shake your ass in front of the camera, you can do it. That's not true. And there are hundreds of thousands, millions of failed influencers who will tell you that. People try and try and try at this for a very long time and they don't find the success that you do. Not everyone can do it. Dare I say, you have to have a certain something that sets you apart. You have to have a certain drive. You have to have a very, very thick skin. And you have to really like have a commitment and make yourself do this to a point where you're able to pay your rent from it. It does take work. It's just a different type of muscle that some people don't have. And people who don't have it or they don't want to see if they have it love to talk about how easy it is to be you or how you only need to be hot and that's all you need.
100%.
It's not true. This is like any job, it takes skill. In many ways, this job is easier than others. I'm not saying at all that it's
also
harder.
Also, like, can I say that, like, every job looks easy from the outside?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, people, especially, like, going back to, like, the earlier call, like, when I used to be, I was, like, really rude about this when I was younger. Like, when I worked in restaurants, I do think that, like, working in restaurants is harder than, like, 85% of jobs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, unless you work, like, a different trade. Like, if you're, like, literally putting up power lines or picking up trash, then and, like, being a surgeon, like, it's, like, there's sort of, like, very few jobs where I'm, like, whatever. But it's like I used to just be so rude about like people who worked in like email jobs. I was like, it's not real work. And now I understand that it is real work. But back when I was younger, I used to just be like, I'd be like, oh yeah, like you work in marketing, you don't have a job. Right. Like, I was like so rude about it.
I say myself, oh, I'm unemployed. I don't really have a real job. Every job comes with its own ups and downs. And there are some that are easier than 100%. Others, but everything is hard in its own way. And a lot of people will look at your job and see that you've made something successful. And just because they don't understand it and they don't want to take the 5 minutes to understand it and they know that they don't have the confidence to do it, they put it down. It's usually crazy. Guys, don't let them do that.
Yeah, it's the same thing as where people will talk about like dollar amounts with stuff. And they'll be like, it's so crazy. Like XYZ gets this much money for this much thing. And it's like, okay, but why do you deserve what you make for what you do?
Right.
Like what it makes me feel crazy.
Yeah, I totally agree. So anyway, the lesson here is don't ever let guys like make you feel bad for whatever you do for work. They're just pissed they can't do it.
Should we do the next?
Guys are so pissed they didn't figure out the influencer industry earlier than we did.
Well, like, are there like straight male influencers?
Yes, but not many because they're so fucking insecure and they can't do it. Like, straight men are so upset that women
what
are
if
at
I,
the forefront of the
creator
economy.
What if I created a different
economy.
Account and used my straight voice to be a straight male influencer?
That podcast clip you posted was so funny.
Like if I was like, wait, I have to get into it. I was like, hey guys, go buy ham. Or like, I don't know. Like trying to get people to buy. It would be so crazy. There's no personality to this voice. Like what would I sell using this voice?
Hymns. Manscaped.
Hey, Manscaped. Manscaped and hymns. Are you on finasteride? Do you need ED pills?
Hey, but they would never call it finasteride because they don't know what that is. And they would never call it ED pills because they're not willing to admit that's what it's for.
So what do you want to get on the Viagra and the Rogaine? What am I supposed to
say? They would say, do you want hymns?
They call it hymns.
Check out Manscaped.
Manscaped.
Get it all.
Wait, but like.
Ready for your lady. Comedy. I love Mark Norman. That was just my straight. That was my straight comic voice. Sorry.
Do? Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
No, stop. My thumbs are actually too big for this. Okay.
Hi, guys. Hi, Tali and Jake. I love the podcast. I am calling for this reason. So a couple days ago, my boyfriend and I celebrated our 2-year anniversary. Yeah. We're juniors in college, for context, and we went out for dinner, and we're sitting at dinner. Our first round of sushi has not even arrived yet, mind you. And he drops on me, yeah, I think I used to be addicted to porn. And I was like, oh, when was this? Thinking, maybe it's before he met me. Maybe he's whatever. He goes, like a couple months ago. I made it my New Year's resolution to stop watching it. And I was like, oh. And just like the moment he said that, my stomach totally dropped. I felt so icky. And we ended up like having a conversation about it. And I was really trying hard to balance the feelings of like, I'm happy that he told me and I'm happy for him that he stopped. I think it's good that he stopped and everything if he felt like he should. But I was also like, it's been hard for me to reconcile like not feeling special. Like, it just made me feel icky to think about him watching other women and stuff. And we have like a really loving relationship in the first place. He's a really sweet man, and I never would have guessed that like he would have considered himself addicted to it or anything. So I think that's good, but I still just like, I just gotten the ick, I think, from it, and I really want to get over it, but I also don't know like how hard or how much I should be reacting to this and how much I should let it affect me. And yeah, just like any thoughts you would have about that and like any advice you would have on like getting over something like this, like how, like just, I do think it's normal to like watch porn and stuff. It just like, ugh, made me feel so gross. I think it's something that like no one wants to really like think about in their partner, you know? But yeah, thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Bye.
No, I need to think.
Yeah, it's like, okay. I think if it's just like normal porn, like if, you know what I mean? If it, like, cause we talked, was this on our podcast or my old, no, this was on this podcast where we talked about like, we were talking about like fucked up porn. Like it's a red flag if he's watching like fucked up porn.
Yeah.
Let's caveat this with saying like, it's like normal porn maybe, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with your partner watching porn. In fact, I think that, like, your partner should have, like, a sexual relationship with, like, their own sex life and that you are a part of that. Like, you shouldn't be their whole sex life.
Agree.
So I think it's, like, fine.
Yeah.
Addicted is an interesting word. If it was, like, if he was kind of speaking hyperbolically and he was, like, I was watching a lot of porn and for New Year's I decided to stop. That's like one thing. If he was like, I was skipping class because I had to stay home and like watch porn, that's like a different thing as well. And if it's about that, then that's almost like not even anything to do with you. That's just like an addiction. Do you know what I mean?
Either way, I think there's something to be said about the fact that someone feels comfortable
telling you
that 100%. They have an addiction, knows it in themselves as like a young person to be able to reflect and be like, no, this is a problem. This isn't healthy. You know how hard it is to get a straight guy to be like, yeah, I think I'm doing something related to sex that is not healthy and wrong. And I'm going to take the steps to conquer that. I think this is all a green flag, dare I say. It's not a perfect situation. Of course, you'd prefer a guy who is not addicted to porn, but damn, a lot of guys that I probably dated are addicted to porn, would never admit that to themselves and would never admit it to me and would never take any steps to try and like stop watching so much of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's so 100%. Much to be said for that. I think that that's actually a really cool quality.
And maybe take a moment to like, I don't want to like accuse you of anything. No, I really don't want to accuse you of anything. But like, I'm just flagging that there's a chance that maybe some of the feelings you're feeling right now are also to do with like your own uncomfortabilities around certain aspects of sex and not your reaction to him. Like, are you someone who's comfortable watching porn? Does watching porn freak you out?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to watch porn to be like a healthy individual, but like, is that part of your reaction? Is it not so much about like the fact that he's watching porn? It's that porn is something that you don't enjoy or find freaky. And so freaky in a bad way. And so now you're like projecting that feeling is coming in around the fact that he does enjoy it. You know what I mean? But also if you like porn, I don't know. I'm like, watch porn together. But he's trying to stop. I don't know. I just think that like,
let him know how you can support him. Tell him it's fucking normal and thank him for sharing with you.
You're also, this is like, you're young. You said you're 21. You're in college. You've been with this person for 2 years, which means you started dating them when they were 19. So this is like essentially your first long-term adult relationship. Like, I do think something that happens is that people, I think that like you're sold when you're young, you're sold this fantasy of like, true love being like, it's like, I don't see anyone else but you. I don't think of anyone else in that way but you. And it's like, I'm so sorry, guys. Like, everyone, like, the man who loves his wife most in the world has jerked it to another woman. Like, that's just the reality of it. That's true. How the human brain works. Like, women are jerking it to other men. Like, that is just the reality of it. Like,
that's how the brain works.
That's
and
how
it's
the
normal.
Brain works. And it's not. And so the more you can, I think what maybe part of what you're going through is like the experiencing for the first time the reality of like, oh, I think this person loves me. I love them. We have a nice relationship. He has sexual feelings about other people.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of being an adult human.
But and a like, hard realization to have.
A hard realization to have, but it also isn't hard after a while. Like mm-hmm. once you accept it as base reality, it's like a thing you know. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I feel like the people who don't learn that young are the people you meet in your 30s who are like, he looked at someone at a bar. It's like,
then I need
you're
you never
to calm
gonna be
down.
In a normal relationship. You're Those never are the people who never like get married and they want to. Here's what I think. Just a word of caution, because as you said, all your advice was perfect, but you're young. You might just be learning about this for the first time. On that note, learn where your boundary is right now, early as you can. Like, what is the thing that's gonna, in terms of what can your boyfriend be doing privately in a sexual way that's okay with you? Because some people here, like, I personally don't care what my boyfriend watches is porn. But if he told me, yeah, well, I was just jerking off to some old pictures of my old girlfriend on my phone, I'd be like, what the fuck? And he...
Oh, that would be weird.
Like,
yeah.
What if he said, like, well, you told me it's fine if I watch porn. Like, that would be a discrepancy in boundaries, a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Establish what your boundary is right now. Maybe it feels okay for you. Clearly, nothing feels okay for you right now, so you're getting used to it. But just keep this in mind as you're going along. I wish that I had realized earlier what does and doesn't feel okay, so I'm not a fucking pushover, and I'm not trying to be, like, the
would
cool
girl. Would it bother
girl.
You if your... Wait, sorry. I don't know why this is coming up in my mind, but would it bother you if your boyfriend used a fleshlight?
No.
Okay.
I use a vibrator. I'm trying to like...
That's such a fair comparison.
Yeah. Like I have to unlearn my I don't know, internalized misandry. I don't know. I guess it's kind of odd, but like it's just uncommon, but I don't think there's anything weird about it. Does that make sense?
A fleshlight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you own one?
No, I've never used one.
Of course you don't, your guy. I don't know why you
no,
need
a vagina.
No, a
lot of gay guys have them.
Really?
Well, yeah, there's a butthole attachment.
Oh,
there and you. There's like a mouth one.
I didn't know
there's
that.
There's also like ones, like, you know that they made one, they've... Like, they've made ones with, like, vampire fangs, if, like, that's your thing.
Shut the fuck up.
And, like, also, like, there's this drag queen on Drag Race, Heidi Ann Closet, who, like, has a gap tooth, and she made one that's, like, with the gap tooth.
Okay, I'm kind of obsessed with that.
No, it's really funny.
I think that's hysterical. Like, do what you need to do. That wouldn't bug me at all either.
What
but
if
I know what
doll?
My boundaries are. Yeah, that's kind of weird. I think that's really weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's, like, cheating on me or anything. I just think it's very strange. Like,
yeah.
Okay, when it crosses the line into, like, needing a full person with, like, feet and hair... It's like,
wait, but
this isn't
creepier?
Just for masturbating.
Wait,
this is fulfilling
on.
An
this
emotional
This is, like, not
thing.
About the call anymore, but I do think this... What's creepier? The full sex doll with the feet and hair, or the one that's just, like, from here to here, like, no head, no arm, no legs, but, like, vagina, stomach, tits. I'm like, that's gross. Like, that
All
looks
of
like,
them are weird. Like, yeah. A fake woman that is made to fuck is weird.
It's weird.
But
the male
have
ones
you
are
seen
weird.
Dave?
The Lil Dicky show. I've seen like some episodes. Yeah, yeah.
First of all, guys, if you're listening to this, you haven't seen Dave. Like, I think you are doing yourself a serious disservice. The show is better than Succession, in my opinion. The fact that it didn't get an Emmy nomination, I actually like. I want to send a bomb threat to the place.
Okay, cut that. Bleep that. No.
I actually no. Yeah, cut that. I cannot believe the show didn't get nominated. You need to watch the show. I think it's one of the best shows on TV in years. But there's a whole storyline. He has a rubber doll that's just hips down. It's just feet. And he like lays it on a bed and fucks it doggy style. And I don't know how I feel about it to this day. The show's been out for a couple years. I don't know how I feel about
Interesting.
It.
Interesting. Yeah.
But anyways. Yeah. I don't know how I feel. Either way, this is great for you to start figuring out how you feel, caller.
100%.
Just figure out, like, are you okay with the porn thing? Probably. I think it's just normal. I think it's totally fine. Are you okay with him paying for an OnlyFans and talking to women individually, one-on-one? I think that would be weird for me. I don't like that. Do you? Maybe
paying
you
for
do.
For OnlyFans, I don't think it's weird. If he's messaging regularly with the person running OnlyFans, that I get.
That to me is weird as well. Does he keep nudes of other people on his phone? That's not just weird to me. That's like very disrespectful to the other women. You should not keep nudes of people that you're not seeing anymore. But does he masturbate to those? That for me is a boundary. Maybe it's not for you. Everyone's different.
Like, it's interesting because with gay guys, there's an app that keeps them all. So they're just like there.
Oh, they're there. Okay, so
it's
maybe
like Grindr or Scruff. But also, knows? If you're not, but they,
for straight women, I don't like it.
None of those are sent under the, very few of those are sent under the context of dating. So it's a good thing.
For guys keeping women's photos, I don't like it.
No, that's
but it's
of,
all,
that's
everyone's
gross.
Different. I don't know.
What was I going to say? Would it bother if you found out that you're, sorry, these are, you also don't have to answer these. I just think this is
it's
interesting.
Fun. This is fun.
If you found out that your boyfriend was like fucking himself with a dildo.
It would only bother me because it would only bother me because he wouldn't let me fuck him with a dildo. Like, I'd be like, why can this do it?
You're like, can I peg you? He's like, that's my thing.
I don't want to like air anybody's dirty laundry, but like I've had guys tell me they don't want me to like stick a finger. And it's like that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You consent to what you consent to, but like, why are you okay with the dildo?
I watched this clip on TikTok the other day of these two guys. It was like two guys hosting a podcast talking to, they had like, I think like another guy had called into the podcast. It was like three straight men talking. And the one on the phone was like, loves getting pegged and was like talking about it. And you could see these other two, like knowing they were on camera, like trying not to like one look aroused or two like interested, but they're like, so what does it feel like? Is it good? Like, it was like the funniest thing. I sent all my, I like sent it to my roommate and he was like, six of my friends have sent this to me. Like every gay guy was like, this is so funny.
I, guys, your homework for the week, if there's any straight guys listening to this podcast, I'm willing to bet there's two.
Wait, can you just call in and let us know you're straight? It's like,
yeah.
Cause what if we have a ton of them, but none of them call in cause straight guys don't have problems.
Or problems. They don't have problems they know about.
They
but
don't, they're not willing to ask for help.
Your homework is stick a little something up there.
The basic training for the straight male listeners of the podcast is to put something up your butt.
Sick. Start really small. Start with like a training tool, like a pencil.
Going to get demonetized on YouTube. Remind you can watch the show on YouTube, but this episode won't make money. Yeah. We're talking about.
Just try a little something. I just think that's, it's really nice to be adventurous and open. No, but to answer your question, would it bug me if he was fucking himself with a dildo? No, it would bug me if he didn't let me fuck him with a dildo. Because I'd be like, I can't stick a finger up there, but you can like stick a whole dildo.
Sure. That's
that
totally
would
fair.
Kind of be like, there needs to be something we need to talk about in our relationship.
No, but Talia's advice is good. You should figure out how you seem comfortable with this guy. Figure out what your boundaries around this thing are and go forward from there. But I don't think there's nothing you said to us sounded inherently wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, one last call. I drank all these beverages and I have to pee at an emergency level.
You're a big beverage drinker.
Well, it's because I ate a really salty lunch before this and it gave me a headache. So I'm going to drink a lot of beer for the headache.
Hi, guys. I'm a new listener on the podcast and I actually have some family issues I wanted advice on. I don't want to give a lot of details, especially since this is voice recorded and I'm afraid I'll be recognized. But my soon-to-be brother-in-law and sister-in-law have an issue with me. I have a feeling it's rooted deep in something that happened 5+ years ago, but they swear it has nothing to do with that. I'm just annoying. They give me no basic human respect, as in they'll walk past or close to me and not say excuse me. They exclude me from conversations by talking over me and ignoring me. But they love to laugh and joke with my fiance in front of me and play with my child when I'm not there. I want to set a boundary with my child's grandmother that I'm not comfortable with my child being around them without me or the dad present, because if they treat me like this because I'm annoying, I hate to know how they would treat my son if he reminded them of me in any way with my behavior.
Poor thing.
Do I set a boundary and cause tension, or do I allow myself to continue to be walked over? I don't want to use my child as a pawn by any means, but another family member who they don't like came over, and brother-in-law had the audacity to ask the grandmother why they were at his mother's house. In earshot of my child, he says, what the fuck is blank doing here? Talking about the other family member he doesn't like. But I don't want my son raised to think that he can act like that and talk to and about adults like that, especially family. I really don't know what to do. And I know this sounds like I'm reading a Reddit post, and it's because I had to write it all down. So that way I would remember every point I wanted to make.
Poor thing.
But Am I delusional for wanting to keep my child away from people who treat me like garbage? Does it make me a manipulative person to put the grandmother in the situation of, I'm sorry, but you can't have my son and brother-in-law at your house at the same time without me or my fiance present? Like, how do you set boundaries with family without destroying the rest of the family? Thank you so much.
where
we knew the answer to that, there would be no podcast in the world.
100%. But where the fuck's your fiance?
I don't understand.
What's he let? Why is he letting his brother talk to you like that?
That was my first thought too.
Of course it was, because that's the number one question.
I don't get it. Here's another thing. Thank you very much, by the way, for writing down your question.
We love that.
I love that you streamlined it. Some people tend to ramble, and I just think it's really nice that you knew that you should write down the important key points. I wish we had more time. I wish we didn't save this one for last. Well, first of all, look, both of us don't have this situation. Like, it's just so unrelatable for me personally. Well, and it's also
like, as two people without kids, like that level, we just don't have anything there. But like,
at the end of the day, I think you, the way that you read those, or maybe you weren't reading at the very end when you said, does it make me manipulative to blah, blah, blah?
No.
The way that you said that and the way that you phrased that tells me that you know the answer. You're just looking for the validation of us. And we completely agree with you. You are not a bad person for the way that you want to handle this, and you're not manipulative. You're also not annoying. That's an excuse that people say when they don't like someone for other reasons, and they say, oh, she's annoying.
Yeah.
They don't like you for reasons. You didn't do anything wrong at all. They're just assholes, okay? But I think that the mode of addressing this is through your fiance. He's the one who's related to them. Why is he not backing you up? You need
Why do you have to go to the grandma? Go to the
him.
Or at least you and your fiance go to your grandma together.
Yes.
Or to the grandma together. Like, it's not that. Why is this on you?
Don't.
Also, like, yeah, like, it's just not. I think you're totally allowed to be like, I don't want my kid around this person, these people without me around. I think that's totally valid.
Yeah.
I think that, like, it's a conversation with your fiance and with your mother, your future mother-in-law. But, like, fuck these people.
You're going to have to get your fiance's support on this. And there is no reason he shouldn't be supporting you on this. Like, there's they cannot expect you to walk into this like pit of snakes by yourself. And they're all related. They're obviously all on their own like natural team. Like, you need backup.
And
here.
Sometimes there's this thing that happens in families where it's like, because they've known each other forever, they'll like think of things as normal that you have to come in and be like, no, no, no. That's
ever seen
crazy.
The Family Stone?
Yeah, and it's like one of my favorite movies of all time. But it's like,
that movie is batshit fucking insane.
I love it but, like, so much. I watch it every year. But it's like,
it's a situation of like, this family thinks that their way of living is like the way that everybody is. And it's like, actually, you're the weird ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like, you have to come in and be like, I think that like you can come in and be like, hey, like, I can't tolerate this from your brother and like your kid. And we need to address it. And either he'll say, yes, I agree with you, or he'll come back and not. And then that's a different issue that you need to deal with. But like, you and your fiance need to be aligned on like what is acceptable from his family and what you're comfortable with, and then present that together. It's not your job to deal with your in-laws without your fiance.
Read this letter to your fiance, please. Like, that was for him.
Yeah.
He needs to help
it's just,
you.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, there's no fucking reason you should be talking to
we
grandma.
We support
alone.
You. We think that you don't, all we can do is really tell you like, you don't sound manipulative. You don't sound
you're
like
not you're not crazy.
You're not crazy, but like your fiance needs to fucking help you out. 100%. All right.
I need to go get this cat. I'm sorry.
We need to go get Comet. This has been Basic Training. Watch the show on YouTube. Again, we told you this last week, but everyone, if you could just go rate us 5 stars, write a quick little review on Apple. It would just be so gorgeous. We would absolutely adore it. Okay. The number is 929-269-4960. We love you. Bye-bye.